You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Good to see y'all. We can go ahead and get started because we're excited to have a conversation. I am Mary Ann McCarty, and I'm the girls' youth.
I'm Ashton Holt. My title is Seminary Associate. I guess kind of falls into the category of cry for help. I'm just learning, just soaking it in, whatever I can learn. But that's the best title.
Exactly. And we both work with students. So a lot of your kids slash we will receive your kids as they continue to grow. Show of hands, who has middle schoolers, high schoolers, elementary school, younger than that? Okay. So across the board, that's what I figured. Let's say a prayer to start.
Okay.
Lord, thank you for yourself. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you are our creator who knows us, who understands the world we live in. You have great compassion and grace for that. Thank you that you are not going to leave us alone as we learn how to steward the lives and world you have given us. I pray that you would communicate with us and bless this time as we seek to know you and know how to live well in the world that we are in. I pray that this very room and community would be strengthened by the power of your spirit. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're in the middle of this conversation. Cameron is in the middle of a Faith and Family on Technology with our kids series. So I don't know what feelings that brings up as you hear that, but these are things that Ashton and I talk about a lot, both for ourselves, we're in our 20s living in this world, and also with your kids. I mean, we see them and we see them interacting with technology, with phones, with YouTube, with social media, with group texts. And this is something we talk about a lot, is why are they on it like they are? What is it doing to them? What does Jesus have to say about that? How do we live? And we want to just have that conversation together and with y'all.
Yeah, this is really an invitation kind of into what youth ministry has looked like for us. We're talking a lot about social media, and yeah, this is an invitation into our conversation, but also the students are bringing these topics up. I think every family dinner or youth event, I'm talking with high school girls or high school boys or even middle school girls about social media and the various things that they like about it and the various things that they hate about it and the questions they have about it. So this is a very ongoing and pertinent conversation in our youth ministry. And we're not here to offer the advice of experts or professionals or to say, here are the statistics by any means, but we are here as people who are living lives with your children and people who want to see them thrive. And I really think that this is more of a matter of stewardship than it is anything else. This is something that is in the world and something that we're learning how to live with. And so our goal and aim is to teach and to equip our youth students to handle the things that are a part of their lives, technology, social media. Even, I mean, this is a part of their school life too. If they're always going to have a computer, we want to take all of those things and just have conversations about how to handle that in a way that's glorifying to God and also honoring to them as people. People who bear the image of God.
We don't have the answers and we don't want to impose more law, but we do want to share what we think. So just to kind of set the stage, the perspective that we're coming at this is following Jesus, believing that God is our creator who has created a physical existence for us. It matters that we live in our human bodies with mind, body, spirit, emotions, will, all of the above. God understands that and really dignified our humanity and our earthly existence, even through sending Jesus as a human. God is not one that said, I'll tell you what to do, but I'm not entering in. Jesus lived as a human and understands exactly what that is, and that matters to him. So God's not absent from that part of our lives and actually wants us to flourish as integrated individuals. The community of the church also is a very physical thing. Relationships are very, very central to God's plan, to God's understanding of life. And so even the fact that we're gathering here together is a testament to that, and building relationships because that matters to God. Another key point of how we're thinking about technology is relationships, not only in the church, but our existence as relational beings. We want students to have strong relationships and be able to cultivate those well. And then just understanding the big picture. God is going to redeem the world in a very physical way. So our bodies matter, the earth matters, and God is always working in those realms. We're not just brains on a stick. We're not just emotions floating in the world. Like, we are physical people, and technology and even spirituality, y'all, can make me forget that sometimes. So we're thinking about integrating all of that. Talk to us about rest.
Okay. Yeah, echoing that and kind of building onto it, the gospel is physical. It's for us physically. It's not just something that offers us a temporary peace that goes away, but it's something that can actually bring our entire beings into a relationship with God that's cultivated by rest. And this is something that he has always been inviting his people into. And so the question I think that we often need to ask with this is, how is this shaping us physically and spiritually? And also, is there any hope for us in this? And the hope that we find in this, the hope that I have found in this, has come from Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15, which says, "In returning and in rest you shall be saved." And I think that that can be the refrain for parents, for individuals, for people like us in their 20s trying to figure out how to navigate social media. The refrain is that there is a way out. There is a way to be at rest with God. There is a way to be at rest in ourselves. And it's in returning to him, as it is in all types of idolatry or in any type of repentance. It's turning from ourselves, turning from whatever that thing is, and turning to God, trusting him for the rest. And I do also, I'm not sure if we have it up here, do want to say that there are some distinctions that I think are necessary to make. And one of them is that some of y'all have high school and middle school students who already have social media. So our aim here is not to say, do this or don't do this, or you should have done this better a long time ago, or anything like that. That's not the intent whatsoever. Actually, I think that you're in a very good and helpful place because you get to invite your student into this and have conversations with them. I think that will be the most helpful thing, is just hearing what they have to say about it and what they're thinking about it, because chances are they do have perspectives and opinions, and there's also a component of shame that's involved in that. And that's the biggest thing I'd want to emphasize here, is that they recognize that it's an addictive thing. They recognize that this is something that they're tied down to, they might not know how to handle or navigate, and there's a very shameful response that they could have to that. And there's also shame in the sense of, with social media, they're seeing things that they don't want to be seeing. They have access to things that they don't want to see. And so I recommend just considering that, going into conversations aware of that piece, because it can feel like such a right and wrong type of thing, or something that's so black and white, when there are a lot of layers to it and a lot of emotional layers to it. And also, for those of you who have children that don't have social media, I recommend just staying far from it for as long as possible. And when the time comes, having the conversations.
Mm-hmm. Very loaded. And we're not here to say you're not doing it right. We're trying to figure all of that out together. So please don't hear us saying, adding a burden.
Yeah.
Because that's not what we're here for at all. Let's talk about why your kids feel like they need to be online a lot. What draws them to either be on their phones or be on YouTube or be in constant communication with people digitally? You want to start?
Sure. So I actually had this conversation the other day with a few high school girls, and they were talking about how frustrated they were that Halloween was coming up, because it's such an intense social thing. They never know which group is going where, or who's going to dress up as what, or what group costumes they're going to do, and who's going to bail on it, all those very important pieces. And they're talking about how they're so frustrated that they have social media and that they see all of these things, and how they wish they could just step away from it and separate themselves. And I asked them, you know, could you do that? Could you ever actually disconnect from social media and not be on it and not feel like you have to think about all of these things? And each high school girl said, that would be so great, but no, because FOMO. FOMO is like the worst thing to high school students, college students, probably middle school students. And social media definitely feeds it. You always know what's going on. FOMO is fear of missing out. Sorry, should have said it earlier. Good question. Yeah, they're afraid of missing out. They're afraid of not seeing what's happening. They're afraid of knowing that all these people were at some event that they weren't invited to.
Even if they didn't really want to go.
Yeah, it's just knowing that it happened.
Mm-hmm. Instantly.
Yes.
It just is a whole level of processing, belonging, and involvement and identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
The internet is really entertaining. I know that you feel that too. I mean, I do too. I think I'm a little bit bored. I want to open my phone and see what I can see. But then I feel that kind of sucking my soul dry. But I still want new, and I want something fun and fresh. And so when your kids are watching their screens, they just want to be entertained because they're kids and because mm-hmm. we're people. But that is a whole lot of what's going on there. Part of it is the question of who's doing what. And so therefore, what do I need to be keeping up with, or what do I need to be in the know about, whether that's fashion, whether that's sports, whether that's a trend that people are discussing, even if it's how to make a certain kind of video that doesn't make any sense, you still need to know about it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's also what people are, sorry, not to interrupt, but that's what people are talking about in a lot of their conversations mm-hmm. is what they saw or what they watched or mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah, which, like, we got magazines and discussed the celebrities. This isn't new concepts, but it is instant, and it is more, there's more to it. It's more expansive. It's more comprehensive because it's not like you get people or E and that's it. You know, there's it's completely unlimited.
And a lot of it's dumb.
A lot of it is dumb. Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
YouTube shorts.
Right.
Like that for boys.
Yes.
Like such a thing. Like you kind of got to know.
Right. It is.
They feel like that.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
So you have to know what's going on and what's cool or what was funny. But really, it boils down to entertainment because we want something to do and we want to know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and with
a lot more there, but
there's probably so much. There's so much more to everything in this conversation. We're trying to scratch the surface, mm-hmm. but this is ongoing. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the biggest things, especially thinking about this from a physical realm and a physical perspective and disembodiment is mm-hmm. that in a lot of ways it's escapism. It allows them to step outside of their lives and step into someone else's life or step into who knows what they're getting into.
A dumb video even.
Yes.
Just for
a dumb video.
Distraction.
You know, living through someone else, watching vlogs, that's a big thing for girls mm-hmm. is what is this person doing? How are they getting ready in the morning? Mm-hmm. What are they eating for breakfast? That type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's allowing them to interact with something that feels like reality, though it isn't reality. It's a very altered and strange reality, but it feels real to them. They're interacting with it outside of their physical bodies, and that actually provides a layer of security because they don't have to see the personal reaction. So I could say something hiding behind a computer and not actually have to see how that made you feel or how you took that. And there's a safety in that. And I think we see that especially coming out of COVID, of kids are feeling a lot more comfortable with texting or with Snapchatting or, mm-hmm. I don't know, DMing, things like that, because they don't have to face the awkward part of growing up, which is learning how to interact with each other. And so they're able to escape from the physical, awkward nature of growing up and learning how to do things.
Because that itself is stressful.
Yes.
That it affects our bodies. And you probably remember from your own middle school days of like, what are they going to say? And what if I get it wrong? And then will I be okay? And you've got a barrier if you're interacting very digitally. And yeah, they're just exhausted, and both from the growing up kind of thing and just from really busy lives, you know? Mm-hmm. And so even when I don't want to do things that I need to do, I scroll on my phone just to ignore it, you know? Mm-hmm. This is not an us versus them situation. We could keep talking about why they stay on it, but we're going to move on to what do we see happening to students as they are online a lot. Sorry, it's a long list. It looks overwhelming to see words on the page. Really being codependent with needing to be connected all the time is a really big one. So not only are they able to enjoy an experience by themselves, it needs to be validated by their friends immediately for it to matter. And so that's why we're taking pictures and posting them all the time to prove that we're doing something, instead of I can go take a walk and not post it and it still matters because I enjoyed it by myself. So that's a relational thing for sure.
I want to pipe in there too. With that, it's just that they all have access to one another at all times, and so they're always feeling the pressure of, I need to be there for this person, which is, that's a lot on them too. I actually have a confession in this sense. I am Gen Z. I don't know if I don't want you to tell anybody this stays in the room, because I'm not proud of it, but.
It's okay.
Yeah, I grew up without any of technology or anything like that, so I had a childhood without an iPhone, but I think towards the end of middle school and really high school is when people started getting phones out and things like that, and I can remember just feeling the pressure of always needing to be in conversation with people or always needing to be talking with my friends. And again, when you're learning how to navigate those things in general, it's really dangerous to feel like you have to be doing it at all times. And actually, one of the most helpful things that my mom ever did for me is when she realized how codependent I was with certain people or how constantly I was texting them or feeling like I had to be texting them. She just took my phone away from me so that I wasn't able to be in touch with them. This was for a 3-day period. And it gave me so much freedom of just not being accessible to people, learning how to read a book, things like that. I'm not saying ground your kids all the time, but I am saying they don't know that they have the option to not be in touch with people 24/7. And so even just giving them the option to say, hey, you actually don't have to have your phone with you, or you don't have to be available for that friend at 11 o'clock at night, that's freedom. It's freeing them from a bondage that they're feeling and maybe not articulating.
We did that recently. We had a long weekend. We went to the lake, and they thought I was bringing their devices with them, and they got there, and I was like, whoops. And I left mine at home, too, which was amazing. But the TV was there, and I noticed that it got replaced with just kind of binge-watching TV. Is there any difference in terms of watching TV shows versus communicate with friends, the picture? I mean, I don't know. I kind of felt like it was a little healthier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the question is there a difference if you're doing no screens or you're taking away phones or iPads or something, but there's still TV there? What is there a difference? I think that is something that is different. TV is definitely, there's ways to tell stories and engage with narratives and learn, watching together can definitely be a thing that is beneficial and can bring you together. You can talk about it. Those are all good things. And there's no reason to, movies and TV shows are so fun. There's no reason to say it's terrible, don't have it. But if you're thinking maybe we'll be resting more and embracing or inviting more quietness to the weekend at the lake, and then it's TV the whole time, that might not be accomplishing what you wanted. But to at least have one screen is helpful. We would recommend that.
Truly.
And being able to do it together, there is something to it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sorry, and I'll stop for a minute, but I feel you're like good. They almost don't even know how to entertain themselves.
That
without the screen, I have to be like, get out chalk and be like, we're going to play Foursquare now.
Right.
Or we're going to play this board game.
It takes a long time to learn. That's not fun. Exactly.
Yeah, I can get into it, but it's so much work for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas when I was young, we just did it without our parents. We were just like, I guess we're bored. We're gonna get the board game out.
Right. Because that's what you had.
All we had.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talk about that for sure. I think it's good to actually do those things together and provide an alternative for them. But it is work.
Yeah.
It is work.
It's an addiction.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there has to be buy-in on both ends.
Yeah. Right.
So, there has to be buy-in on your end and the fact of this is going to take longer than I want it to and it's going to be harder. There also has to be buy-in on their part of, okay, I'm hanging out with my family and this is worth it.
Yeah.
But it's like saying you're going to go exercise 6 days a week for 2 hours a day. It's like, that is so great in theory, but then you actually have to be the one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing of, it's great to think about playing a game with your family, but you actually have to be the one mm-hmm. that is making that happen.
And trying to think about how do we do this and how do we teach our kids how to handle it doesn't need to be an all or nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you either have no screens or you're on all of them all the time.
Yes.
But I think it would be helpful to think about small steps, which we'll get to on the next slide, of how do we, maybe for a weekend, we try to play two more games or like have mm-hmm. one less screen or something like that. Because they are having a hard time learning. And when they're on screens all the time, even TV, it's hampering their ability to slow down and think,
mm-hmm.
Both to think for themselves, because they're faced with info and topics and opinions and all kinds of things that they're not even ready to handle or process when they're just online.
Mm-hmm.
Even YouTube Shorts. I mean, I'm not saying you have to watch everything, but they are more likely to be inundated with lots of stuff they're just not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking about how to give them something else to do in a way with, if they're connecting with their bodies and the earth and their friends and their siblings and their parents,
mm-hmm.
They're able to learn how to slow down, have a longer attention span, connect with narratives through books.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, because part of why I care about it a lot is I have noticed me being on screens and wanting to talk to people all the time or just read the news or find dumb videos. I do that too. It hampers my ability to be still before God and listen to God or just enjoy the presence of God. And God is with me when I'm on my screens. Like it's not an either or, but my spiritual attentiveness can grow if I'm able to be still comfortable with myself, okay with thinking instead of mm-hmm. needing noise all the time. Mm-hmm. You have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'll say one more thing on this, then we can move to the next for sake of time. But I think idolatry of self is really the overarching narrative that social media or technology impresses upon anybody. Especially youth students, I think, or children, anyone, are susceptible to it, but it really does come at all of us, and it is the pressure to justify ourselves, the pressure to heal ourselves, the pressure to diagnose ourselves and to know what's going on in our lives, the pressure to defend ourselves, to come up with an answer from within ourselves. It tells us to look inwards at all times, and then it tells us to put that image out and be able to defend ourselves so that it will be received well in the world. And that's why it actually is such an intimidating thing to high schoolers or middle schoolers. Like if you look on their Instagrams a lot of times, they have zero pictures. They have nothing because they don't want to actually bear the weight of presenting themselves to the world, but they're on social media because they want to see others interact with it. It's a very dangerous thing. And in the midst of all of that, they're being given a language that they don't know how to speak. I don't know how to speak the language necessarily of social media, but they're given lots of labels and told to apply them to themselves. And that comes through, again, like watching other people's lives, or it comes through, you could go on Facebook or on Instagram and see a post that says 7 things that mean that you have anxiety. And like mm-hmm. anxiety is a very real thing, but they're being told to figure out what these problems are that they're feeling inside themselves.
Because that's connected to isolation.
Yes. Do you want to say why?
Yeah. Oh, no, I lost it.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, it just forces you inwards.
You're alone.
Yeah. Yeah, you're forced mm-hmm. inwards, you're alone. And again, like this is where the shame layer comes in, because they just don't know what to do with this. It's a really heavy thing to try and navigate this by themselves. And they feel like they have to do it because everybody else is doing it.
Mm-hmm. I think leaving them on their devices more does leave them alone. And it, even though they're talking with their friends all the time, they're not together. There's a barrier. And so it does leave them to figure it out themselves. And then when sometimes they're in a group chat and they're texting about whatever, but then when they are just seeing content, they are left to have to deal with it alone. And
mm-hmm.
and they're learning to go to the internet for with their confusion instead of going to friends, going to parents, going to teachers.
Going to God. That's a good one to go to.
Yes, yes. I know, the sermon today, I was like, oh, I need to do that. Exactly. So as we think about us being relational creatures by design, being left alone to everyone, that's where your point to watching TV together is still, that is still helpful. Instead of everyone's on their own screens interacting with their own content, there's something to, we can share this show or this movie together. Mm-hmm. That's building relationships. That's still, mm-hmm. that's a goal.
Yeah, this mom across the street from us deleted YouTube from mm-hmm. her TV. Mm-hmm. And I had a kid who was binge watching it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is never going to work. Like, and I just did it. Uh-huh. I was just ripped the Band-Aid off. Like, uh-huh. there's no YouTube TV on any devices or TVs yeah. in the house. Because it was like, I couldn't pull them off.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it was,
he
it
doesn't
just
know
kept
how.
Going
yeah.
and going. Yeah. And I was just like, this is not mm-hmm. healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's brave that you said, we're going to cancel the subscription
yeah.
and just not do it.
I told him that, like, it was bad for their brains and that China was stealing their data.
It is bad for their brains. Yeah, it's good. And yeah. I think that's, so we're going to talk about freedom in the gospel, and then we're going to talk about a few of those tips. And one of them is telling the kids it's bad for their brains. They don't know how to process that either,
yeah.
but it's just not. And you're the parent who does know that. And it's okay to say, this is the boundary that we have in our house
mm-hmm.
or what we're going to do for a time. With this framework of, because you have, there's more to life, and I want to invite you into that. So Ashley, tell us about the gospel. How does it apply?
This is your section.
Okay. when we talk, I know it's always easy to talk about the gospel and these technology and spirituality. How do they go together? Other than the fact that God made us and knows what we're living in, but when we think about, you have all you need. You are fully loved and fully known. Therefore, I have the freedom to step away and say, yeah, that's what everybody is doing right now, but I'm going to be okay if I draw a line in the sand, at least for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I'm not on my phone. If there's my mom or somebody that I need to say, hey, reach out in this way, of course. But I have the freedom to make a choice to live in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to be deficient. I'm missing out on the Halloween party or the dress code or something. I will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, it's easier for me to process that than if I were 12 or 16. And I fully understand that. But this is something that we have that we can offer our students. But we also know, like, I don't have to buy in to the message that everyone is giving me on my Instagram feed, because I am Marianne, and God has made me and given me the friends He has. And those, there is freedom in that. And that is like something I have to consciously remember and tell myself. But even this week, I had a hard relational situation, and I was able, by the grace of God, to remember I am deeply, completely loved by God, and so I'm okay. And that was a real physical experience that I had. That's not my normal life. I was really grateful that God gave that to me. But even in a hard situation, I thought, this is real, and I'm going to walk forward in that. But that's a learned thing. But even with these questions, God's love does not go only as far as smartphones and then leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I want us to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ashton hit so hard when we were talking about this, talking about rest in our bodies. So talk to us.
Yeah, I mean, the effects of all of these things are felt so physically, whether it comes out in the form of sickness or a panic attack, whatever it is, it's this stress is felt on us, on students, on each of y'all physically.
Mm-hmm.
And the only antidote for that is the gospel and the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. It's when we fully believe that, fully trust that, fully put our faith in that, that we do experience not just a mental rest or a temporary peace, but a real peace that surpasses understanding. And it's something that our whole beings can rejoice in and dwell secure in. I think it's Psalm 16, where the psalmist talks about his flesh dwelling secure, his whole being is exalting in God. And that really is the hope of the gospel, and that's the hope that can be extended to each of us, is that this is something that's given to us by God. Like, God built this into creation. He wants the physical land, the physical bodies, everything physical, to have moments of rest and have moments of peace, moments of renewal. We see it with the Sabbath. We could trace that entire theme throughout Scripture, and you see it's a physical release, a physical trust. And so we can turn from that into our lives and say, what does Sabbath mean for us? Well, it might mean putting down our phones for a day and trusting that even though that's a hard decision to make, there actually could be some benefit in giving our lives to God for a day. That's what the Sabbath is all about. It's putting something down and giving ourselves to God. Doesn't mean that it's easy, but it means that it's possible and that God has ordained it to be that way. We can look to the example of Christ. I don't have anything else to say about that except we can. Y'all know what that means to do that. Mm-hmm. Can follow him, the way that he lived in relationship with people, the way that he loved people, the way that he chose to operate with individuals out of the love that he had for them. That is the privilege that you have as parents, is that you know your children individually and specifically. And it really is up to you and up to God to decide, what does it mean for me to love my child in the midst of dealing with technology with them? Like, what is going to be most honoring to them? Because with some students, they need a word of hope and comfort and knowing that, you know, we trust you, we trust you're going to make the right decision, we trust that you're thinking about these things. Other students need to be, have a stronger boundary.
Yeah, to say we're unplugging for the weekend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I guess that kind of moves into our next slide, but yeah, this is up to you and up to God. It's something that you can bring to God and trust God with, pray about it. I don't know. I think we all have to examine ourselves in this in order to interact with others on it. So
yeah, for sure. As we wanted to think of some therefore how kind of suggestions, and part of this is what I'm learning personally. Some days I do say I'm going to set my phone aside. I have Friday mornings off, and so I give myself permission to not look at my phone until noon. It's hard, and I feel guilty about it sometimes, but I believe that I need moments of quiet and freedom, because it does make my shoulders relax to say I don't have to be available right now. So even seeing how I physically respond to some of these boundaries is helpful. I will listen to music sometimes. My roommates and I will either put a record on, because it's very physical to like have to stand up and flip the record and start it again, or still using screens, play Spotify on the TV, and just like we'll each queue up songs to listen to together. Again, relational and engaging with music, things that I really enjoy, very stimulating, but gets me out of just scrolling just to entertain myself. I'm still being entertained with the music, but I'm sharing that with my friends. But before we get to some very specifics that we have, you know, just to get you thinking of what might work for your family, I think the most key as we think, how do we potentially live as good stewards of technology with our students, is you've got to talk about it. Saying we're going to cancel the YouTube subscription is good. Might be, if that's what you need to do. If that's what you choose to do, great. But saying, because I want you to have a healthier brain, because I want you to learn to have some quiet time, because it's really good for you to spend a little time outside, it's really good for your body. Like, teaching why you're doing these things is going to be really, really key. Ashton did tell the story about her mom taking her phone away, and she said it was really freeing. But when we were talking about it this week, she also said she was really mad.
I was so mad.
That's normal. That's okay. It's going to happen. Because, like you said, they don't know how to not binge watch or something like this at times. It's not simple. Like I said, I have a hard time letting it go. But saying why, and even saying God made us as people, made our families to relate to each other, etc., is really important. Especially as we're talking about creating buy-in, you got to talk big picture and talk about how these specific habits can help them. Well, it helps them in their school, in addition to helping them spiritually and physically.
It can feel isolating even to think about this, I'm sure, as a parent, of just, well, we don't want to do this to our kids and have them feel left out.
Right.
But that is where the community aspect of the church comes in, of you can bond and band together and doing this mm-hmm. and create that community amongst yourselves that kids can look to, and also foster that mm-hmm. community among them for them to participate in, and just teach mm-hmm. them how to participate in it.
You can have a rule at your house of, like, when kids come over to visit these friends, they put their phones at the door. I know families who do that, and the kids love going over there because they get to rest and play together. They don't really know exactly how it affects them, but they're like, I love going to their house because we just hang out. But it's in person. So you can set rules like that if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But providing alternatives is the other thing. If you take something away, yeah. it's really healthy and necessary to give them something else to do. Like, hey, let's listen to music. Let's play music. Let's go on a walk. Let's throw the football. And like you said, that is more work. I understand. And that's where I don't want to say we're just presenting more law and more things for you to have to do. But it doesn't, technology's not going to handle itself other than what it's already doing. So start small.
Yeah. And
please be gracious with yourselves and with your kids.
You can factor yourself into it too.
Definitely.
If you want to bring your kid along with you, like if fishing is really restful for you, then say, hey, I'm going to go fishing. You're welcome to come with me, and let's leave our phones in the car mm-hmm. or something like that. Like, do activities you want to do and bring your child into them. Mm-hmm. And that is honoring to both you and to the child as people who are both needing an escape in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I had something else I was going to say. Oh, you can also, like, they just need permission to know that mm-hmm. they don't have to do certain things. And so if you're able to have that conversation with them and give them the freedom to do less, that is going to be the best invitation that you can give your child, especially in a high-pressure, intense school setting, but also in the setting of social media. Like, just giving them the freedom to not engage mm-hmm. is so helpful and will be such a gift to them. They just don't know that they have it. They don't know that they have the freedom to not have to perform at the highest level at all times. And if you can offer them that, you're offering them a gospel message in that.
And that goes back to what you said at the beginning, is talk to your kids, because they have thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you say, hey, what does it feel like to have to be on your phone? Like, tell me about the way that people communicate. Is that tiring to you? What is that like? They can speak to that as well, because they feel it. And then saying, hey, I want you to know you can take a break. Your mm-hmm. friends are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
We need to wrap up. To conclude, God absolutely sees and knows every bit of this part of our lives. And God is not going to leave us alone as we seek to live in relationship with Him, others, and ourselves. And so I know that this is a hard topic, and it's overwhelming, and it can feel like I'm going to fail. I feel like that all the time. And God has immense grace for us, and God's not going to let our kids get out of His reach. That's not a
mm-hmm.
thing. And I think our kids are going to, the students of this generation are probably going to have a lot to teach me about how it is to live with technology, to use it in really cool, amazing ways, and also to say, yeah, when I was 16, I felt like I needed to do this, and therefore I started this new thing. I think that being the technology natives that they are, they're going to have really good opinions because they're smart and they're awesome and they're so fun and so creative. And I believe in them a whole lot. So
mm-hmm.
I want to say y'all are doing really well. You are not alone. You have support, and we're all figuring this out together. So mm-hmm. this is an ongoing conversation, not the end of the story or the summation of how to live.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have
yeah.
that.
There's so much freedom in this.
Yeah.
It's not a one size fits all.
No.
It's a learning curve at all times for each of us.
For sure.
So
it is probably time to go, but I will stick around if anybody wants to chat. And y'all, please, this is our job. This is what we're here for. So please reach out if you want to have more of a conversation. We dialogue. That's what we do. So, and we pray for your kids so much, and pray for y'all. So do you want to close us in prayer?
Yeah, let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of yourself. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, and just thank you for the rest that you offer us. Pray Lord, that you would give each of us wisdom and discernment on how to live in the world and not of it. And I pray that you would invite us into your rest each and every day, Lord. Pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.